Hey, welcome everybody. You're listening live to United Public Radio Network, coming to you from 107.7 FM in beautiful downtown New Orleans, Louisiana, and the 105 FM bandwidth. If you happen to be heading eastward towards the Atlantic or the other side of the Gulf Coast, past the radio station in past Christiane, Mississippi, welcome to Voice of the People Radio. This is another beautiful Saturday afternoon here in southern Mississippi. We're actually out from under what has been called a freeze warning that we've had pretty much in effect since we've had an Arctic weather front that's done everything from make us all have cabin fever on the Gulf Coast to freezing your water and everything that you have going on outside. Of course, our guest this afternoon is Dr. Desmond Green, who is on with us from the still frozen confines of the American Northeast. Desmond is in Hartford, Connecticut, where it may be cold, but it's still beautiful. Desmond, welcome to Voice of the People Radio. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you, Greg. It's been a pleasure coming back and hearing you talk about the freeze, the deep freeze, knowing that we have a sunny afternoon. 50 degrees in Hartford. I think I invite all of you to come on up here, those, especially those who have been under the deep freeze down there in New Orleans and places like those. But it's wonderful, and I'm really happy to be back from a long growth experience. I'll share with you everything that has been happening. And as soon as its time comes, we can delve into it.
Well, we are here, of course. For those of you who are familiar with Dr. Desmond Green, I'm very fortunate to be a part of the Reverence for Life University with him. So if you want to take a look at some of the things that go on and you're not entirely familiar, it's reverenceforlifeuniversity.com. Of course, Dr. Andy Skadberg frequently posting there and also managing to keep people on their toes with little loving tidbits every now and then on Facebook. So we have some fun with that, and I miss Andy a lot, Desmond. He's moved, but he's still doing his thing. And just to give a shout out for anybody that wants to go check it out, Andy has a blog on Blogger, which is called 13. It's the number 13. Light messages, LIGHT messages.blogspot.com, and you'll also see some linking back there because Andy has everything linked back up. He is a very prolific writer when it comes to making some of the matters of his heart open for people, and we just like to share that because he's not here to share that with us. So check that out. Go look for Reverence for Life University on Facebook if you're there as well, and you can also look and find the United Public Radio Network page on Facebook and Voice of the People Radio. So we've had many people coming in from all over the place. We're on the terrestrial radio. We have a lot of English speaking listeners in places like China, which a lot of people don't expect. You know, so we're actually everywhere when we're here. We're not just freezing and or thawing, depending on where you are.
Yes, that's beautiful. You know, Greg, it's been such a, almost like we've been on furlough for a while. You sent me on furlough, and I'm back with the findings of that furlough. A couple of the things that jump out immediately are, one, that the Reverence for Life University is truly the sanctuary of the new earth, the new age, the new dispensation, the provision of a resting place where we can move out of the environment where no one is certain of the truth to what they're saying, and no one is. It's like in the fake news environment, everybody is faking what they are saying and faking what they're doing. And so the question comes up is, what is this that's real, you know?
What is real here? We've talked a lot in the past about accusatory theology, but what we've seen in the last year has been, I guess we call an application of accusational psychology, because our philosophy as a society has become this thing about one accusation. I mean, and we don't want to stress the negatives, Desmond, because we could spend all year.
But
a person is accused of this, an organization is accused of that. Politically, at least in the United States, we have the investigators investigating the investigation and investigating the other investigators. It's like a bad comedy, you know?
Yes, it is. And Greg, the thing is, the Reverence for Life University is saying there is an alternative to accusatory theology, the idea that something is wrong with you, and the accusatory psychology, in which the psychologists probe into you to find out what is wrong. And then the accusatory philosophy or practice or way of doing things, in which you just come out outright and deny whatever you're doing.
Yeah, and it's something a lot of people listening to us may not know, Desmond, which is funny in itself. Is if you work as a psychiatrist or as a psychologist, and your job is to professionally analyze other people, then you go for a review, and then you are analyzed by another analyst.
They want to
make sure that there's nothing wrong with the guy doing the analysis.
yes. And you know, Greg, and this is interesting, and it's funny to us who have a seat in the observer's arena. You know, we have been led into the observatory, where we are able to pull ourselves out of the arena, the accusatory arena, and really replace that accusatory culture with what we call an affirmational culture. Because unless you are replacing it with something else, you're going to be like on the banana peel. You just slide faster and faster on the accusatory peel. If you're in the area of theology, then you try to dig yourself into how right your authority to accuse somebody of being wrong is. And you usually say God is on your inside and gives you the authority to do that. And as far as the psychology is concerned, you usually say, yes, I got my degrees from this university, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, the Ivy Leagues, and stuff like that. So I have this authority to probe into you and to try to locate what is wrong with you. And if you are in the philosophical realm, you say, okay, I'm an existentialist philosopher, and the whole thing doesn't make sense. So what we're saying is, we have been delivered, Gregory, our eyes have been opened to the fact that, firstly, life is a self-affirming process. Life, the cosmos, is a self-regulating, self-sequencing, self-act, spiritualizing process that knows how to regulate itself from within. You know, we are delivered from the intellectual quagmire of being asked to become accountable for this magnificent experience that we have called life. And we are now in that position where we are able to say to those listening, you do not have to accept the accusational theological virus into your psyche. You do not have to agree with those who say God authorized them to tell you that something is wrong with you. You can stand up on your own divinity, on your own breath, and say, the breath which is my God which is my breath, is investing itself in my body. And in no place, at no point in me, is anything but an affirmational thrust. So I stand up, and you stand up, and we stand up as the Reverence for Life University, and stand on that authority that is within us, that says, I am my cosmic breath frequencies. I am my cosmic breath frequencies, and you are your cosmic breath frequencies. And what do breath frequencies do? Firstly, it is self-sequencing. The universe is not asking you and me to detail how it came about or to give an account of how it started. We haven't been given that assignment. All it says, your assignment is to become conscious of who you are, to observe the phenomenon of you as a dynamic, self-sequencing, self-actualizing organism. You are the cosmos. And you have no question, no one to answer to but your next breath. So the Reverence for Life University is saying, we are not going to have any fight or any war with the accusatory theologians. No, we love them because we know that they are just the same breath as we are, the same breath as the cosmos is, and their assignment, like yours and mine, is to be observant of who we are, to become observant of how we function, and to appreciate ourselves as magnificent cosmic beings with creative capacities to create the experiences we're having. And we take you back to the practice, which is the foundation of the Reverence for Life University. We say in the beginning, there are 8 steps guiding our growth and development. Step number 1 is self-acceptance, accepting yourself as your breath. You can do that, Greg, can't you? And everybody everybody who is in the listening audience, we can say to you, can you accept yourself, not as a fake expression of the cosmos, but as a real expression of the cosmos? Can you take the next conscious deep breath and say, I am my breath? And I would suggest that you do that, because your breath is your sweetness. When you make that acknowledgement, when you make that admission to your breath that it is who you are, it releases this the nectar of paradise deep within the cells of your body, and the wonderful little
Endorphins, you know,
those wonderful little endorphins crying out for this acknowledgement. Acknowledge me, embrace me, know me. I am you. I will always be you. I am invested in you. I am the God that you are looking for, and I am on your inside. And so we say, once you make that acknowledgement, you then take the next step. And what is the next step? You recognize that your language converts your breath into the experiences you're having. It's you who are creating your experiences. So if you are an accusatory theologian, and if you have allowed the virus of accusatory theology to penetrate your psyche and take lodgment in your little endorphins, you walk about the place feeling guilty, saying, I'm guilty, I'm guilty, I'm guilty. And then you create a culture of I am guilty. And then you walk around looking over your shoulder to see if whoever made you guilty in the first place is coming to get you. So we're saying, no, you don't have to do that anymore. But just as how it took a lot of time to build this culture of fear, and you call it the culture of not being able to accept yourself, the fake culture of self-denial. It took time to do that. So it's going to take time and a practice now to replace it with the theology, the affirmational theology of, I love myself. I am the beauty of the cosmos. And you can repeat as often as you can, because repetition is what creates a new consciousness. What you repeat often enough is what you become. So we say, repeat often enough, I am my breath. I am my breath. My breath is my God. My breath is my value. My breath is my cosmos. Oh, what a wonderful acknowledgement. My breath is my beauty. My breath is my currency. My breath is my reality. I don't have to fake my breath, because it's the breath consciousness culture that will deliver you from the fake culture of self-denial, self-accusation, self-doubt, and open your eyes to the fact that the cosmos created you as its own beauty, and it has given you eyes to see your beauty. It has given you eyes to embrace yourself and to see yourself, as Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You have eyes to see your light, not to close up against your light. So step number 2 invites you to learn how to recognize, to observe, to appreciate, and love who you are, because that is your only job in the universe, to accept who you are, to enjoy who you are, to rejoice in who you are, and to live as the cosmic breath frequencies which you are. When you open your eyes and you look and you see and you say, all of my images which I'm looking at are the images of my breath. All of the fragrances which I am smelling are the fragrances of my breath. All of the textures of that I am feeling as you run your hand through your hair or on your leg, or touch your body and say, My textures of my breath. All of the foods that I am tasting, that I'm eating, that I'm enjoying, are the foods, the tastes of my breath. Because if your breath was not internal to the food that you're eating, they would not give you life, and they would be like trash. So the food, you're surrounded by breath feasts, breath foods, but you have to become conscious and know that this is what you're about, so that you can enjoy. And then you listen to all the sounds you're making, the sounds of my voice, the sounds of the voices of the people around you, the music, all of the sounds of the cosmos, and you're able to say, I am my images that I'm looking at, my fragrances I'm smelling, my foods I'm tasting, my textures I'm feeling, and my sounds I'm hearing. And you are not a fake self. You are a real self, because you can see and hear and touch and taste and smell what you are calling yourself. And that is who you are. That is what the cosmos has planted in its potential for you to realize it one day. And today is that day that you're called upon to accept yourself, not as a fake illusion, but as a real cosmic reality. And then step number three in the practice, the Reverence for Life University curriculum, we say the cosmos has provided all of the nutrition and nourishment that you need to live a bountiful life, to live a prosperous life. You cannot exhaust the supply of air that you're living in, the supply of water, the ether, the earth frequencies of plasma and stardust. You cannot exhaust that supply, try as you may. And that is your inheritance. We are not fakes. We are real. Wake up and embrace your reality. It is joyful. It's juiciful. It's priceless. You have that to spend the rest of your life enjoying. Then the fourth step in that practice that we have laid out for us is playfulness. Life is about playfulness. The cosmic breath frequencies, which make up the constitution of the cosmos, are about playfulness. You see, the young of every species, whether it is puppies or kittens or children or whatever it is, they play. They love playing, because playfulness is sweet. It's sweet to play. You know, when you give a friend you haven't seen a big bear hug, and you feel the beauty that they contain, or your wife or your lover, you give them a big, juiciful hug, and you give them a big kiss, and you experience them not as a fake illusion, but as a real self. This is what the cosmos is about. This is what your cosmos is about. This is your inheritance, inviting you to accept yourself. Then step number five, we say the vision you have is what takes you everywhere in life. So it's best for you to have a vision that corresponds with your reality. A vision that helps you to see that you are the cosmic breath frequencies, and that you're one with the cosmos that is breathing and pulsating and converting itself into all of its essential elements of ether, air, water, fire, and earth frequencies of plasma and stardust and minerals and plants and animals and all living creatures. This is what you are. This is what your dream should be. Your vision of yourself is being. The reality of yourself is being. And you go to number six, step number six, which says, you are simply just too beautiful not to accept all of who you are. You are simply too wonderful and magical to be doubting your veracity and your beauty and your magic and your wonder. So accept yourself completely. The universe accepts itself completely at the point of its next breath. Every breath that the cosmos takes through every species, through every one of us, it's a breath of self-affirmation, self-acceptance. And number seven, you know, this wonderful thing of generosity. The cosmos is a generous being which specializes in sharing itself with its expressions. It has dubbed every single one of us as the ear of the entire cosmos. Every one of us who is taking the next breath is entitled to the rest of the cosmos. And the cosmos is inviting us to realize that. And step number eight, the cosmos says, trust yourself just as how I trust you. Because trust is the point at which the image-based world, the intellect, the mental self that we have, meets upon the road. The rubber of the intellect meets the road of the breath. Because your breath is supplying your intellect with its existence. And so, we have shared with you what you sent us to gather for you. I am your servant. Greg is your servant. And all these years, over the past 11, 12 years, what we have been doing is to pay attention to the reality that transcends fake illusions, that transcends fake cultures, and invite you to embrace yourself from within. We're not taking you down any road promising you that you will arrive upon a paradise where you might find seven virgins waiting for you or some milk and honey waiting for you. We're saying no. What the reality of the cosmos has said to us is the next breath is your bliss. The next breath is your heaven. The next breath you take is all of the virgins that you can handle and manage. It is in your next breath that you find your life. We come and we deliver to you what we have received. And if you need time to digest it and engage it and explore it, take the time, because that's all you have in the cosmos. The cosmos has all the time you need to release unto you the keys to the kingdom of heaven which are within you. This is too wonderful. And we come and we open up and we say, we are your servants. You have sent us on a journey that has benefited us. And no longer will we be traveling behind accusatory theology or accusatory psychology or accusatory philosophy looking for something that we already have within, which is the kingdom of heaven itself, the bliss of the cosmos itself. And we want you to have it. The price, you don't have to give us any collection. You don't have to give us any special donation to take it. No. Take it. It's yours already. Bless it. It's in you already. Embrace it. It's yours already. Trust it. It's yours already. Enjoy.
The cosmos, you know, it doesn't reflect back to us anything, Desmond, when we look out and we have these wonderful space telescopes and we have telescopes on the ground. And when we look out, the cosmos doesn't reflect any of the negative aspects of being human beings that we create on our own. You know, the cosmos doesn't have anything hidden. When you look out into the cosmos with your telescope, whether it's on the top of the mountain or it's the one out in space, you know, that the space agency is using, there's nothing that we've discovered out there in the cosmos that's hidden. It says, I don't want you to know this about me. You know, and when we look at accusational philosophy and things that happen, you know, like people in social media, you know, they create a person that doesn't exist, man. You know, and you can't be true to yourself and create something that's like a store dummy. You know, the store dummy is there to say, oh, I will look good in that hat. You know, that's what you know. It's a representation, and you put the image of yourself wearing that, you know, that really sharp outfit. You say, I would look good in that. You know, the cosmos says you would look good in this. The cosmos doesn't say, oh, well, you know, just try to imagine yourself having some new sharp outfit. It says, go ahead and reach for it, because here is infinity. This is all out in front of you. You can't see as far as it goes. That's how infinite it is.
Well, I would say, I'd back up a little, Greg. I'd say you can see as far as it goes, because it's coming from you. You are the one projecting that light that you're seeing. So it's, you know, there's no end of the tunnel in our conversation where you're looking for the light at the end of the tunnel. We say you are the light projecting yourself in the tunnel and at the end of the tunnel. And throughout the entire cosmos, you're visible to the cosmos. And, you know, Greg, I feel inclined to say, let us invite the energies of the Congress, the energies of the House, the energies of the President, the energies of all of Washington to embrace itself, not as a fake culture, but as a breath of life. The breath of life, which, as you say, is not hidden. It's not hiding anything from itself. It cannot. If it wanted to hide something, it wouldn't have so many eyes. Everything is a speck of light, streaming that light. So we send love to them. We send truth to them and invite them to love themselves and love this country and love all those who love this country, because this country is not only this country. This country is the cosmos. We are the cosmos. We are the cosmos. We are the cosmos. And today we accept the reality. We ask, we invite those dreamers to recognize they're not dreams anymore. They are the reality of the cosmos. And so all of us, we are immigrants from the light of the cosmos, sent to Earth to realize who we are. Because the Earth is nothing other than a language lab where beings of the cosmos come to learn the eight steps that have been given to us as the eight steps of the Reverend Sulaite University. One, accept yourself as your breath. Make sure the language you're using is in alignment and compliance with your breath. Eat the food of the universe that the universe provides for you. Be playful. Have that vision of yourself that is in compliance with who you are. Be playful. Trust yourself. Accept yourself completely. Be generous, because the universe runs on generosity. What a world. And trust yourself, simply because you are trustworthy. You are trustworthy. We are trustworthy.
You know, so many things that have happened, you know, in the last several months since we've been on the program here on Voice of the People Radio together, Desmond, that, you know, yeah. We had said before, we look at things and people might be listening to us say, well, this is a little different, yeah. You know, yeah. That's kind of, you know, it's been a journey. You know, and when you set out on a journey, sometimes you don't always know where you're going, but the road is there, as you said, when the rubber of the breath hits the road of life, you know, yes. then we have to also be doing something, which is we have to have a defined purpose. We have to have this vision to see where we're going.
Well, put it this way. I usually say now I speak very simply and clearly, say, we are where we're going. We don't need a purpose anymore. We are a process. The cosmos is a process. It's going to where it's coming from. So what we have to do now is to enjoy the fact that there we are, the destination of this journey called Desmond Green, and you call Greg Miller and Joe Montana and Mataldo, and I hope Joe Montana doesn't mind us including but and all these wonderful listeners, you are the destination of the cosmos, the destination being a consciousness of yourself, the destination being knowing that you are authentic. You're not a fake. You don't have to try to deny what you're doing. No. Do things and acknowledge what you're doing. And if what you're doing isn't what you should be doing, then you know you shouldn't be doing it. You do the things you should enjoy. Do the things you can put in the news. You can come on the radio show and talk about it and be proud about it. Be proud of your life. It's wonderful. So it's true wonderful. And Greg, I'm kind of preempting and saying we're going to be putting officially a television station called The Moods Channel. We now have that channel as a web-based channel, but we're going to upgraded to a level of a television station. And it's a station where you come for self-realignment. When you've forgotten who you are and how you function, you come to the Moods Channel. And the Moods Channel invites you to see that, yes, you are the figments, you are the fragrances, you are the foods, you're the tastes, you're the sounds of your breath. You see, that's what the Moods Channel does. You land on your breath, because that's where you're coming from. It's your landing strip. It's your takeoff strip and your landing strip. So in a very short while, when Joe and you and I set the Moods Channel up as a television station, and all of those of you who are out there who are looking for something, for a station that you can literally call your sanctuary, where you come and you enjoy yourself, you're reminded of who you are. You're not promised any any steak in heaven, any milk and honey somewhere, you're reminded that the next breath is the paradise, is the bliss that you've been looking for.
We've been having some fun here. We're going to take our station break now, Desmond. Desmond Green has been my guest through the first hour of Voice of the People Radio, folks. You're listening to us, of course, live on United Public Radio Network. And we're getting ready to go into a commercial and promotion break here on the station for the next few minutes. You've been listening to us live the first hour here on Voice of the People Radio. I wanted to let everybody in the listening audience know. Also, Michael Angley is coming up after Voice of the People Radio from beautiful Ithaca, New York, and he will probably have a ton of things to say in a short while to say it, but he seems to be very good at that. And if you have something to say yourself, you want to call in, talk to myself and Dr. Green live on the air, the station number is 504-273-7379. Again, it's 504-273-7379. And don't worry if you get a busy signal or something that's going on like that. You can always email us at voiceofthepeopleradio@gmail.com. And don't forget to check on your web browser and go visit us on our Facebook page for United Public Radio. There is also a Facebook page for Reverence for Life University. And there is also another Facebook page that Dick Desmond and I would be remiss not to tell everybody going into this commercial break, called the Cosmic Stock Exchange. And we want to invite people to go over there because that's an integral part of our media presence, because it's where you are able to create your presence as well. So Desmond, if you can help me with holding on to my hat, Joe's going to take us into station break now. And folks, you've been listening to Voice of the People Radio with your host Greg Miller, Dr. Desmond Green from Reverence for Life University. We'll be right back after these words.
Hi, Greg.
Yeah, let's give Joe a second to Desmond. I know, Greg, you're still there. If you need to,
what you need to do is call me back, because my phone is running out. So just call me back when you're ready for me.
Yes, we'll do that.
I'm putting up the charge now. I'm putting it to charge now. All right.
All right, and we're no longer on dead air. Hopefully, folks, you can hear me out there in wonderful radio land. If we didn't miss our intro from the break here at the top of the hour with the second hour of Voice of the People Radio. Of course, you're listening to us again on UPRN, United Public Radio Network, at 107.7 FM in beautiful downtown New Orleans, Louisiana, at 105.3 FM on the eastern side, heading towards the Atlantic end of the Gulf Coast here in the United States. I'm your host, Greg Miller, with Voice of the People Radio this afternoon. Of course, we come to you every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and then we are followed up by the Michael Angley Show. Michael, of course, coming to you every Saturday from 6 to, excuse me, from 6 to 7. And it's just a lot of fun. So don't forget to stay tuned after Voice of the People live here. And we'll get that going. Hopefully, Michael's going to have some entertaining stuff to talk with you about, with the rampant insanity, which is the mainstream media. As of course, this is for some people in the listening audience, it might not be that important, the type of anniversaries that we've been having. But if you want to check out the rest of the live programming schedule for the rest of the week too, head on over to uprntalkradio.com. And you should be able to see the schedule there as well. And of course, Joe is going to be up with news on the flip side after Michael Angley is done. Michael sometimes ends up joining us. It could end up being a panel show about something. It really kind of depends, I guess, on what's going on, you know, at some point in time. And some days are just hectic, and the rest of them are just, you know, you could almost be waiting. Like it's one of those old cowboy movies, and you're waiting for the tumbleweed to blow by as nothing is going on in the little one street town out in the Old West. I think that's why that type of thing still captures the active imagination of the culture worldwide. Just about everybody knows about the Western movies and what those symbolize for people, and why it was such an important part of what eventually, you know, evolves the American culture, evolving over the centuries. That is something that was so very brief, but made such an impact on our culture. And so it is another aspect of ourselves to be celebrating. So we will see about being able to add Dr. Desmond Green back into our conversation here for the second hour of Voice of the People Radio. And, you know, it's always fun, you know, having Desmond on the air with us. I wish I had the live camera pulled up back at UPR in the studio, because you never know what you're going to see there as well. So I don't have a studio producer live cam, you know, like those cameras that police officers have been talking about in places where they don't have them across the country, have a camera on in case they need to capture something that is an incident, you know, that's going on at the moment. And so we will see here. Again, if you have not checked us out on uprntalkradio.com, you'll be able to see that station schedule and stuff there. I'm in a particularly, you know, odd situation here, folks, where I'm not able to pull up my own audio. So if you had been listening to the station promos and the commercial break, and I also want to apologize in case there was any dead air that people have not been able to hear anything on the program for those last few minutes. We are still here, and I'm going to myself try this. All right. Yeah. In the interest of anybody that's hung on, and I apologize if we've had some dead air here on the station. We'll get into some news and see if we have our guest, Dr. Desmond Green, dialed back in here for the last half an hour of the Voice of the People radio. Apologize for the little technical difficulties we've had out there, but anybody that hasn't tuned away at this point, we're just going to go in and provide something in the area of news, news that has happened in the last couple of weeks. One of the things that was kind of closed up that was a case that had been noteworthy for some time, and it's another one of those cases of an investigation of the investigators, and just bring that up for general purposes because we've talked about these, and this is one that actually came up almost 2 weeks ago now. The Attorney General of the United States ordering an investigation into the Bundy case after a mistrial. Of course, on the 8th of January, it was announced that a federal judge dismissed all charges against Nevada rancher Clive and Bundy, his two sons, and another man on Monday of that week, which was the 8th of January, after the prosecutors were accused of willfully withholding evidence from the lawyers in that case. So we're gonna try to, look at that as one of those things that happened, and we will go from there. We will be having our guest, Dr. Desmond Green from the Reverence for Life University, join us here. And let's see, that's interesting. Let me take that down. I'm having somebody call in. I think I'm still broadcasting here over the air on UPRN, and so I will try to get them as soon as I can, so that I can put that in. And we're going to try to bring Dr. Desmond Green from the Reverence for Life University back in, back at Studio Control using Skype. We will have to dial him out, as we cannot pick him up because he's not actively on Skype at the moment. And we'll see what happens here in the next couple minutes. Again, I wanted to thank everyone who had there you are, Desmond.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. We've been having having a couple of minutes here, looking at what was going on and what was old news. I did just point it out where we have government investigators investigating, something, and it's always, some kind of an inquiry,
Yes.
And
yes,
I think we do that. We were talking a little bit about that. And what we do is we conduct an inquiry of the universe itself, So if anyone appeared from another world and they came here, and they might not be entirely comfortable with that, because I think we're not entirely comfortable with ourselves. And that's why we're always conducting some kind of, we investigate ourselves,
Yeah, we're looking for the flaw because we were told there is a flaw. We invented the flaw, projected it, and start looking for it. But it was always within. And we have to realize that it's a waste of valuable energy. And uh-huh. It doesn't feel good. Children, when they get together, children play. They just play. They find something to play with. They play with themselves. They find something to play with. Because their nature, our nature, it's not that our nature is not playfulness, because our nature is divine. And the divine nature is playfulness, but we invented this idea that something is wrong. And you're right. If we had some family members from another planet come by, we'd sit them down and we would grill them. As, why do you look so different? Being so looking so different is something wrong. And so before long, we would find them guilty of looking different. Which they wouldn't have a problem with being different because that's their existence. So to transcend the virus, the accusatory virus means transforming it into the affirmational virus because we have to do something. We're made to be doing something. And if we're not affirming one another, we'll find ourselves accusing one another. That's energy is so wonderful. And that's
Desmond, I don't know that that's an intrinsic part of human nature, though, Desmond. I think that's been our ongoing thing, is that that's something that's been ingrained into us using what we would call the educational process throughout the history of human society. And
it's a product. It is an outcome that we have produced, the flaw. You know, some people call it sin, some original sin. And we said earlier on, the only thing original about you is your next breath. Original breath. That's the only thing that's original about you and me. Our next breath. Not the one we have taken already, but the next one. And we invest the next breath into the pattern that we have set up to receive it. So it's really like saying, how can we free ourselves totally to be the cosmic, to be in compliance with our cosmic nature? And the answer is by accepting yourself completely. Completely. And practicing it. And that is the reason why the Reverend Soul Life University is so important. That we have established a beachhead in the cosmos. The beachhead that the earth was intended to be, that the earth was intended to be simply a language lab where we develop a consciousness of the vastness of who we are. Not the little cubicles, little images, little illusions of what we think, the mental frames. That's not what we are. We can do that. But the dynamics, you know, you're a nuclear reactor powered by the cosmos. You know, when Tesla said we're all energy, he was actually saying the truth. The entire cosmos is an energy-based organism. It's dynamic. And that is the level of understanding that we have to achieve now in order to become comfortable with ourselves, in order to be satisfied. You have to accept the truth of who you are in order to be satisfied with who you are. And that again is the reason why we want to set up the Moods channel as a channel, as a television channel, where people can come specifically to look at the moods they're in, how they create it, and how to change it, how to enjoy themselves.
Yeah, we use a little imagination, you know, and you talk about people, you know, if we were to apply some of the aspects of humanity. And we do it when we have movies about, you know, the aliens are coming from another world. And it's almost like you have the really bad landlord and the aliens, you know, they either want to come down and take everything out of your house.
Yeah.
you know, and then wait for the removers to come like it's trash, or, you know, there's some kind of a conflict. And it's really, you know, it's really kind of not what, you know, what we would like to, what we would like to see happen. You know, it's, I don't know that.
That's not what the cosmos is about. It's about total alignment with itself, conscious alignment with itself. And that's why it's created the earth as a language lab, so that we can observe, learn to appreciate the whole cosmos, and be in alignment, consciousness-wise, with what is supporting us. Because the cosmos is supporting you, you know. The cosmos is sponsoring you. The cosmos is making available to you all of what you are, which means if it didn't want you to be who you are, it wouldn't supply you with the resources to be who you are anyway. And the cosmos is supporting everything to be what it is. There's nothing being withheld, as you said earlier on. The breath isn't being, only shallow breathing, you know.
You know, it's just... it's wrong of us as, you know, as individuals to go around being, you know, being judgmental of one another based on, like you said, if we wouldn't find anything else to do with brothers from another planet, that we would eventually try to find something. And we've had our entire history doing that with each other, you know. And it's, you know, if we don't accept ourselves, you know, then anybody that is out there in the cosmos, they're going to look at it and, you know, they're going to think, you know, you guys kind of, you know, need a little bit of an adjustment. But we're learning how to do this ourselves.
We need a new skill set. That's why the breath consciousness skill set that goes ahead of us and clear up our minds and make us realize that when I'm looking at somebody, I'm looking at an expression of my own breath. So, constitutionally, that person is exactly like me. The entire cosmos is exactly like me. And all I have to do is recognize that this is so, and digest the images I'm looking at and realize, oh, these are images of mine. Digest the fragrances I'm smelling and think, oh, those are my fragrances. Digest the foods I'm tasting, because my body does that naturally. Digest the textures I'm feeling and the sounds I'm making and realize that they're all me.
And we are composed of...
We're
composed of constituent elements and processes.
Yeah. So it's to learn that. That's the breath consciousness will deliver us from the image-based separations. Image-based consciousness looks in terms of what is different from what. But the breath operates from the base of what is similar to what. I am your breath, you are my breath. When we come from that position, we don't... Why would you want... Yeah.
I have my puppy on alert. Of course, see, we have to do that, find out what that thing is. And that's exactly what we do, though, Des, but we're the same thing that my little dog did, and we would hear some noise out there in the cosmos with one of our radio telescopes, or we would see it with the Hubble Space Telescope, and we say, ah, what is that?
Whoa, 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 and you start hollering, you know, and you run under the bed if you are... As if running under the bed can save you from anything. Anyway, so what we're saying is we have to wake up. We have to become aware. We have to grow up. The cosmos is waiting for us to grow up. And when we grow up, we'll see the cosmos as our home. And we'll see all the other frequencies as related to us. Because what is another frequency but another frequency of the same thing? That's what it is. But it requires a consciousness now, which is, you know, why we have to let go of the image-based structures that prevent us from experiencing, from feeling what is supporting all of this. That's why, one of the reasons why the technology, the cell phones and the iPods and all of those things are not substitutes for our feelings. And those of us who try to make them into a world of our world, we just set ourselves up for imprisonment. Because your energy wants to feel connected to the energies around you, because it is getting its support from all of the energies around you. It's just one cosmos expressing itself as all of what we're looking at. And that is what we have to grasp. The consciousness that doesn't grasp that will continue looking at itself as a boogeyman and looking at the universe as a boogeyman. And the universe is asking, why do you see me as a boogeyman when everything that I am, I'm investing in you? I'm not a boogeyman. I love you. I am your love. I supply you with the elements, the air, the water, fire, the earth. All I ask you is that you pay attention to what's going on, so that you don't step over into a volcano or step off of a cliff. Use your eyes and see, and ears to hear, and you don't go walking into a hungry lion's den. You won't live to tell the tale. But you have
the
to.
Lion would
that's
just
why
say
we
hello.
Have your senses. Hello there, my lunch has arrived. So that's the invitation, and that's what Reverence for Life University is about, is this inviting every one of our listeners to recognize this as your university home, where you come, you explore, you are baptized with the affirmational doctrine or the affirmational message, that you don't have to look over your shoulder for any supervising God who's looking to punish you. That was from another era altogether. That one has run out, you know. It's old stuff. It's like old chewing gum. It doesn't work for you anymore.
I've often thought about that. I mean, that's a real abstract thought, Desmond, but I know I'm not alone, because I've actually had that thought standing around in New York City on the sidewalk and wondering just how much effort would be required to clean all of the chewing gum off of all, just in New York City. You know, mm-hmm. how much chewing gum is it? I'm sure there's some statistical analyst that would then come up and tell me how much cubic space it would take, or how deep of a hole we would have to dig in New Jersey to have somewhere to put the chewing gum. You know.
Yes. I would like to see, Greg, at this point in our conversation with our listening audience, to remind them that we do have a sanctuary for them, not where we are, but They have a sanctuary for themselves, within themselves. And all that we have to do is remind them. I was at a boarding school over the weekend, you know, talking with the principal. He said, my job is to awaken my students to their potential. And it was a very heartwarming expression, because that's what the cosmos is saying to all of us. My job is to facilitate your growth and your development until you arrive upon a consciousness of who you are as the whole cosmos itself. And so that's what we are in business doing. We are here to provide that environment where you, when you come in with your constrictions and your thoughts about being separated from the rest of the cosmos. I want you to put that in the garbage pail at the entrance of the Red Branch Life University. And
as the janitor, I can say that it'll probably be disposed of and gone, and you won't have to think about it any longer.
That's right. That is so incinerated. We will put it in the incinerator, and it will not be anymore. You know, in the Bible, there is a story of our friend Moses. And Moses was programmed to be a pharaoh. And to be a pharaoh, it's a mindset. It's a culture. It's a mindset. Being a pharaoh is a mindset. You are a pattern of behavior that is predictable. And when a new assignment came up for him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, he wasn't prepared. He was ready to take on the assignment, but he wasn't prepared because he was an Egyptian in consciousness. He was a pharaoh in consciousness. And so the Spirit led him into the wilderness where for 40 years he had a new environment, a new culture, which minding sheep. The sheep didn't understand what it meant to be an Egyptian pharaoh, didn't understand what it meant to say, come here, or do this, or do that, or we'll cut your neck off. They didn't understand that. They just did what sheep do. They held their grounds. And it took Moses 40 years to break out of that mindset of being an Egyptian pharaoh. 40 years. And one night, when the breakthrough took place, when it says there was a fire. He saw a fire. And it was burning, but it wasn't consuming the bush that it was burning. Which was another way of saying that when the breath cleanses the mind, it doesn't destroy the structure. It destroys the illusions that you occupy and preoccupy yourself with. But it doesn't, the cosmos doesn't damage itself. It converts itself into different frequencies, but it moves from frequency to frequency. It doesn't damage. There's a protocol, cosmic protocol, that enables frequencies to move from state to state, water to ice, ice to solid, liquids to, you know, solids to whatever. But the free movement of frequencies between states, that's how the cosmos runs. There's wiggle room in the cosmos for energies to move from one state to the next.
And we always, you know, we always look at that and we think that it's some form of magic, you know, because
magic.
We've seen it, and it's, and you have, you know, your water, and it can go directly to steam, it can go directly into vapor, and then the process you're talking about, Desmond, is sublimation. It goes directly from water to vapor without becoming the steam. You know, because there's that allowance that's been made there. And when we want to practice a sublimation in our lives and we want to say, I want to move forward, you know, one of the first things we can do with bad things that happened to us in our past is we can sublimate those, and we can just say, I'm not going to carry that baggage around with me from the thing that happened 15 years ago because it was heavy. Mm-hmm. It happened 15 years ago. I don't want to. Concern my, I have to just, you know, drop that, and it's more than just an expression, you know, because you, if you give it all of your thought and all of your focus and all of your energy, well, then that's where you are in your mind. That is where you exist at the moment, man, and you don't want to be, you know, in 1983. I'm sure there's some people in our listening audience that would like to look back at it and say, yeah, but you know, back in 1983 I could bench press 300 pounds. But we can sublimate all that, and we can say, well, what's important is what we're going to be doing here together, and we have that one capacity that, you know, our friend the lion, he would see us as lunch, you know, if we came into the cage. But see, we have the capacity as human beings to construct for ourselves the future, which is the best state of mind. Moses didn't have that construct of that future until he saw the burning bush. And then he realized what that 40 years had been about was that I had to have my entire perspective shifted. And it took, and then, you know, the Almighty says, yeah, man, it took 40 years of hanging out with these sheep for you to realize you were no longer supposed to be the Pharaoh. The sheep just looks over and says, bah.
That's beautiful. And that's why, you know, the Reverence for Life University, that's why we have set it up as a transition stage where you come and you, all of this stuff, the baggage of memory and image-based thoughts and stuff, you come and you realize you don't have to keep doing that. You can breathe consciously.
I found a sheep, Desmond.
You did?
It sounds almost like Andy Skadberg. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Andy.
Hello, guys. How's it going?
How are you? Yes,
I'm here.
We are celebrating. Welcome. What's going on?
Oh, just here with the menagerie, family, dogs, cats, fish, children.
Wow. That sounds
Andy's
like
got an
a...
arc.
Yes.
But I think there's
more. That.
Is the program almost done?
Well, this one, but you know, I think that's the thing, man, is that, you know, we're going to be back together. And I hope you're going to be available for us, Andy. We're going to be here for about a little less than 5 minutes. And then the studio's getting ready to put Michael Angley on from up there in Ithaca, New York. But we wanted to give you the opportunity to, you know, connect with us and connect with Desmond and share. And I know you guys have the opportunity to share with each other on a daily basis, just to be able to share something with the listening audience. And, you know, I feel the same way, because in the last couple of weeks, we actually acquired another member of our menagerie, Andy. We have a sheep now.
Oh yes, I've seen the pictures, and I've seen your wife reporting about how things are going. I haven't looked in great detail, but I did notice. Yeah, we have two new dog. One's named Crimson, and the other one is a little pug named Norbit. And we actually got out today because the weather was pretty nice here up near the Mississippi River. We had almost 50 degree weather, so we got out of the house. We've been hunkered down for a while. We had super cold weather, so we went out to the park, and now we're coming back chilling, and Sarah's getting ready to go out to Erie, Illinois. They're having some kind of an event. She's taken over the editorship of a regional newspaper called The Review. It's a weekly newspaper, but interestingly enough, she's next door to a radio station that's relatively new called WQUD, Vintage Radio, out of Erie. So she's been making some connection, and they're kind of growing a partnership between the newspaper and the radio station, and they have nice programming, and they're excited to have a young person come in. The prior editor had been doing the newspaper like 30 years. So Sarah's just taking over, and she's doing great. And we're having fun here, excited. There's lots of good developments happening on many fronts, but really I feel the center of it all is what we're sharing with Reverence for Life University.
Yes. That is so right. I think, Andy, as I tell you, that you're living in a campus. Your house is a campus, the Reverence for Life University campus. And we'd invite everyone listening to make your home into a campus, because you're the student, Reverence for Life University student. And our job is really just to explore and enjoy the cosmos.
Well, my professors, day in and day out, are Lincoln and Shiloh, and I'm truly learning the wisdom of when you become like a child, you enter the kingdom, because they're there. I would have to convince them and educate them about all the trials and tribulations and things to worry about, and they just don't seem to buy it. They just do their thing. Right now, we're kind of picking on Moses the cat, but now
Moses,
they're petting him.
I guess.
Yeah, seriously.
Moses the cat. We were just talking about, Desmond and I were talking about Moses. Moses
is a cat. Yeah, well, there was one time where I was talking to Desmond, and then Moses sat down, flailed his leg out to the side, and began licking his balls in front of me, and I said, "Wow, what a profound thing to share!" Because he's like, "And Moses descended from the mountaintop and proceeded to lick his balls." We can all learn a lot from a cat.
Oh yes, basic.
Follow
life.
Your bliss. Be your bliss. Experience your bliss.
That is so right.
If it feels good, go ahead, and you can do it without hurting yourself. So,
your bliss. That is right. we spoke a little earlier, taking your consciousness into the kingdom within, the bliss within, the heaven within, and know that it's real. It's not a fake. It's not a fake thing. It's a real thing. But we've been kind of distracted, told to not acknowledge the bliss within, because it's somewhere out yonder in heaven. But now we're practicing. Trust your breath. Your breath is your bliss, because it is. And have fun. Lots of fun.
Well, guys, I'm going to share, I think, what I might say my New Year's resolution on the air before we wrap up in the next couple of minutes here, because we haven't done that. And I'm going to say my public New Year's resolution to myself is to stop waiting for the next bad thing to happen.
Man, sounds like a plan. Although, yeah. I'll give you something to worry about. I got some ideas, Greg. I mean, I've been on Facebook and I noticed there's a whole bunch of things out there that monsters that have crawled out from under our bed, and then after that, the sky is falling.
No, I love what Greg says in that respect, because what he's inviting me to do is create the next good thing with this.
Thanks, yes. I'm going to have my granddaughter's going to have to come in, and we're going to have to look to make sure that monster's not under the bed.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, now, Desmond, I'd like to share one of the most powerful things I've heard, and Desmond said it a few weeks ago. He said, sometimes, and this is not a caveat, but sometimes the most loving thing we can do is take our next conscious deep breath. And that more often than not, and this is the lesson that I've learned, is that the bliss is derived from me going in, finding love, and sharing out.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Andy. That is our gift to ourselves and to everyone listening. We invite you to say, take your bliss, your next breath. And enjoy. It's yours. It's real.
Desmond, Andy, thanks for sharing with me this afternoon. I know the last half of the show has been kind of brief, but we'll be connecting with each other up here in a few minutes. Folks, you've been listening live to Voice of the People Radio on United Public Radio Network. We're actually going to all jump off the air right now so the studio can get you ready for Michael Angley coming to you from the Finger Lakes region of upstate New York in Ithaca. And Michael is going to be on with you for the next hour. So do stay tuned. Live programming coming up here on United Public Radio Network. And then we may be back with news on the flip side with Joe Montaldo in about an hour or so. So stay tuned, folks. Desmond, Andy, it's been great having you guys here on the air with me. And I'll be talking to both of you in actually the next 2 minutes here. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the show. Without you, the listening audience, there is no Voice of the People Radio. And have a great night, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.